Bill Kilquest is joining us. Although I still have a tendency to want to call you Sheriff Kilquest.
It's
just an impulse.
I know it. We go back that far, don't we?
That we do. We go back that far. Bill is, of course, running for the Democratic candidate, the 115th District. Did you anticipate this election being so rough, tumble?
Yes and no.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, without an incumbent, I mean, it's really an open field, so you've got to fight for it. I didn't understand until Joey Helini a few years back when we were talking about the election. He says, you know, it's their election to lose. Yeah. And until the last couple election cycles, I didn't know what that meant.
Well, we go. Joey Helini goes way back, and we go back with Joey Helini, WCIL, back of the old station. Over with Larry Doyle back in Carbondale.
Yeah. So, and see, you now know what that means, too. You've got to get out there and you got to scrape. You've already gone through a pair of shoes, I assume.
Oh, couple pair.
Yeah.
Couple pair. You know, 25, 30 pounds. Look at me. I'm a shadow of my former self.
You are svelte.
I like svelte.
You know, and what do people ask you about? What do they want to talk to you about when you're standing on their doorstep and you go to them and they feel you're at my home. I want to talk about what I want to talk about. What do they say?
They're pretty disgusted with the way the government's being run, both statewide and national. You know, I can tell them that I'm just, you know, I'm just running for statewide government right now, and they're disappointed in not being told the truth by their government. They're pretty upset and they're pretty down about that.
Yeah,
and there's been a number of cases where that's happened.
And it's not because you and I've been around long enough to know there's always a level of dissatisfaction with government. It's inherent since the beginning of time, I would assume, with government. But this anger seems to be more substantial.
Yeah, it does. And like I said, there's this tax increase that was supposed to come off.
Temporary
sunset,
tax.
Sunset in 2015. And, you know, the government promised the people that it would sunset. Now they want to keep it on. It's wrong.
Not only keep it on, but make it permanent. Not another cycle of temporary, but they want to keep it period.
Keep it permanent. That's exactly right. You know, they broke their promises with that. They broke their promise with bargaining with one of the local AFSCME unions about bargaining a contract. And then the governor says, well, we don't have the money to pay for it. We're not going to pay for it.
And that's the back pay issue, too, which is still huge and a large sum of money.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, again, you know, government needs to live up to its words. I mean, you know, you can't bargain for a contract and not live up to what you bargained for.
You know, it's interesting because you didn't have to run for election for sheriff, and I always thought that wasn't a political race and shouldn't be political. It's about law and order and safety, okay? But when it comes to this, this is different for you, isn't it, when you're running this category, we'll call it, in the state of Illinois. It's different. And very often, I hear words that Republicans say come out of your mouth.
Okay.
Okay, we should do away with the Floyd card.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that sounds like something a Republican would say, doesn't it, Bill?
Yeah, it does. And I truly believe that. You know, we've been given an A rating by the NRA. You know, we're the only state in the union that has FOID cards. And, you know, we're law-abiding citizens. We go to buy ammunition at a Walmart or a local gun dealer. And we have to put down a FOID card. Some other states we go into, we have to put down an Illinois FOID card. Missourians, Kentuckians, Nevadans, Kansas City people, Arkansas people can come into our state and just put down a driver's license. It discriminates against our own people.
But see, this is the point I wanted to get to. A downstate Democrat, can you influence your party? Because I see that's one of the issues I see for this thing is, you know, you've got an upstate Democrat, which is considerably different than a downstate Democrat, and can you counter that within your party if you're elected?
Well, you know, I've been standing up to people and politicians my whole lifetime, both as a Carbondale police officer, as a sheriff, as a warden. You know, I walked away from an almost $90,000 a year job standing up to a governor. That wanted me to fix an employee review hearing before it happened. I said, no, it was wrong, it was illegal, unethical, and immoral. I wouldn't do it. I walked away from an almost $90,000 a year job. They fired the individual anyway. And I came back later to testify at an arbitration hearing, and he got his job back. So, you know, I stood up as sheriff. You know, I solved all the murders, most of the rapes, the armed robberies, the child molestations. I evacuated towns when they were in fear of being flooded out. I found people's lost children. I stood up for people when I was warden at the at IOC Harrisburg, from kids being beaten and choked and cameras being turned off. You know, I stand up time and time and time again. I stood up to Governor Quinn when they wanted to close TAMS, when they wanted to close the crime lab in Carbondale, when they wanted to close the Adult Transition Center in Carbondale, when they wanted to close IYC Murfreesboro. Long before I even decided to run for this position, Tom, I stood shoulder to shoulder with people picketing, informational pickets, protesting those closures. I carried signs in parades. I wore T-shirts. I carried petitions.
But doesn't it bother you had to fight your own party?
No. It doesn't.
I mean, no, but when I say that is, am I on the wrong side? Because I'm not taking sides. I don't get the idea, because it seems like we're all fighting government all the time.
Well,
and that's part that has us so disenfranchised.
You know, I never, ever considered myself the Republican sheriff or the Democrat sheriff. I was a sheriff.
Can you do that while being a state rep, though?
I think I can. You know, I know I can. You know, you have to take the hopes and the dreams and the ideals of the people from the district that you serve to Springfield. You know, you're their representative. I don't want to be the Republican representative or the Democratic representative. I want to be the representative.
All right. Here's an interesting thing. And I spoke to a friend who was at one of your speeches recently. And he said Bill equated his sheriff career with the opportunity to be a state representative in a way that I would have never imagined until I heard him speak. And I think you've just done some of that with us just a couple of moments ago. And he said, the other thing that caught his attention when you were doing a speech was, you say, look, I'm not going to take a retirement.
That's exactly right. This is not a job for me. This is not a career move for me, Tom. I won't take the retirement. I will never vote for a pay increase for myself. I'll work to decrease my salary. You know, I've been at this for the last 14, 15 months, pounding the street, knocking on doors. I haven't made a dime. I love this area. I've always stood up for my people. I want to stand up for my people again in Springfield, and I will do that.
You know, I have a thing that I do, and I'm not sure it's healthy, but I find that I'm very often defined by my enemy.
Okay.
You understand that statement, I think, now after the way you've described yourself, that you define yourself by the fights that you've chosen, the stands you've chosen to make, that's how you define Bill Kilquist.
Exactly. And like I said, I don't only talk the talk, Tom. I've walked the walk. You know, I've shown it time and time again. You know, at John A. Logan College, you know, standing up for our kids with our own athletic scholarships. They try to define me, but, you know, I'm not, they can't put me in a box. They can't put this kid in a box. I won't let them put me in a box.
Well, your opponent has attempted to do that by saying you're Madigan's boy. And I think that was actually one of the terms that was used at some point, at least somewhere I saw it. There was a colloquialism, you're Madigan's person, you're owned by the upstate Democrats. I mean, that type of rhetoric has been included in some of the messaging.
Well, that's pretty interesting, because number one, I don't agree with Madigan on a lot of issues. Number one, I don't agree with him on his pension bill. He wanted that pension bill. I believe that pension bill is unconstitutional, and it should be overturned. I would never vote for that pension bill. Our teachers and our state workers never had a seat at the bargaining table to negotiate any part of that pension bill. I'd like to show you a piece of literature. You know, it's interesting that I've been defined as a Chicago politician, and Chicago's running my race. Here's a couple of placards
that
I'd like to show you.
And I have not received these in the mail.
Well, putting down Bill Kilquist. You know, from my opponent.
Well, from the flyer, it says, in order to get thousands of dollars from political insiders to fund his campaign, Bill Kilquist wants to take thousands from you. That's the headline.
Okay.
And then it says, Bill Kilquist is being financed by political insiders who want to make the 67% income tax increase permanent. All right. Source, Illinois State Board of Elections. Grow state government. The bigger state government, the more favors and sweetheart deals Bill Kilquist has to sell to his insider friends and donors.
That's from my opponent, but I'd like you to tell the people where the return address on that flyer is from.
North Lakeshore Drive, Chicago, Illinois, paid for by Liberty Principles PAC.
And the other one? Where is that?
Is return 505 North Lakeshore Drive, about as north as you can get across the lake, right on the lake.
Talking out of both sides of their mouth, Tom. You know, I've been straightforward with this. I've been honest with this, and you can't say one thing and do another.
Well, did you listen to the interview yesterday when I spoke with Terry?
I absolutely did.
Now, and I was curious about what your response was yesterday, because this has been one of the items that has been, you have really pounded on this particular aspect of her not paying proper property taxes, and as a result, other people paying a larger sum, which is one of the issues that have been coming up in the Carbondale City Council. They've been looking at this going, well, let's take a look at this appeals process. So what's your thought on this before we move on this morning?
Well, I listened to the interview. I'm pretty perturbed. You know, I wanted to come in here and talk about me this morning, but I think that you, your listeners, the taxpayers of Jackson County, the voters of the 115th District were duped and lied to yesterday, and I can prove that to you, and I'll prove that to you right now. Terry Bryant told you all yesterday, and I quote, we only have one tax exemption. We only took one homestead exemption that she, quote, checked back from 2010 to 2006, that she, quote, lived in the property in DeSoto, that, quote, the other property is a mobile home, and, quote, we own a mobile home, we own a house. Now, I'm going to give you copies of Statement of Candidacy where my opponent has run for county board.
In Murfreesboro, unincorporated area.
Well, all right. But the address there, you know, tell me what the address was.
Well, Lee Lane.
Right, and where? Murfreesboro.
Right.
She ran for county board, and that was, what, 2005? Down below.
2007 and 2005. 2005 and 2008.
2007, 2008.
Right, I've got them all out in front of me now.
All right. You know, so she lived in Murfreesboro. She lived in one place or the other. All right.
All these appear to be a Murfreesboro address.
Right. Now, I'm going to give you a copy of her tax return payable for year 2011 on a house in DeSoto, DeSoto Township at 308 North Chestnut Street. Is that correct?
Right.
All right. Down below.
DeSoto. Owner-occupied, 2002,
that's
and this is in the DeSoto Township. It says the owner's name is, however, in Lee Lane in Murfreesboro, but
right.
On Chestnut.
Right, but the exemption type, if you go down, just one more down below here.
Yeah.
What does that say?
Owner-occupied.
Right.
That's what I'm seeing.
The next one from 2010.
All right. Owner-occupied.
Same thing.
Right. These are for each one of these years.
2009.
So
2008.
All right. From your investigative work here, because other people can't see what I'm seeing this morning, what is the what did you divine from this that you've looked at that they're claiming to live two places?
Well, you know, she said she had two properties. That's fine. Now, here's on the property from the Lee Lane property in Murfreesboro. All right, we just talked about the DeSoto property. Now we're talking about the Lee Lane property. What's the exemption on that, Tom?
Owner-occupied.
And for how many years, how many sheets you got there?
Yeah, there's 2002, 2002, 2, 3, 4, 5, what, 6 years?
Yeah, and they're all owner-occupied, all right? Tom, she got two exemptions. You can't deny it. Black and white. It's there.
And yesterday, I believe she said she spoke with the clerk and named the clerk and said there was no problem with that. And that was, I believe, her quote from
she
yesterday.
She said she talked to Shirley Booker. Shirley Booker, is the treasurer. Shirley Booker mails out the tax bills, and she collects the taxes. That's the treasurer's job. The assessor's job is to give variances.
Tell the clerk how much.
Right. Absolutely.
And to be able to look at the variances. Again, is this attached to this? There's a concrete and there's a roof.
You know, again, she did not pay her fair share of taxes. She's running for an office that is responsible for taxpayer dollars when she can't even be responsible for her own taxes.
That's what I wanted to ask you. What is the connection here with this and the way you see this projected and the way that it affects her as an opponent and her it impedes her credibility?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it was an easy thing to fix. You could have went in there and said, well, there's a mistake. You know, I got two exemptions. I should have only got one. You know, let me pay it up. You know, it would have been over. But again, she still can't face the fact that she got two exemptions and she won't take care of business.
All right, now, we've covered that here for about 4 minutes. I want to keep it because we're running out of time quickly, and I want to talk more about Bill. You heard me reference this, if you've been listening over the last couple of days, that if we were a year ago today, I would have thought this election would have been a referendum on the pension problem. Now, you talked about this earlier, that you didn't think the pension problem the pension solution was constitutional. You're not the only person to have that thought after
Absolutely.
Reading the Constitution. Seems to be pretty clear. We'll see how the Supreme Court reads that, of course. But we have a lot of issues like this. How do we get ourselves out of this pension hole, of this deficit, of this addiction to money we have, an addiction to tax dollars? How can we dig ourselves out, and how can you influence that outcome?
Well, again, you have to look at the state's budget. You have to look at every penny that's being spent. You have to go over line item by line item and see what programs are working, what programs are not.
You know what's interesting? When this is going by line by line, I've asked the treasurer, I've asked the comptroller, I've asked the lieutenant governor, I've asked them all, except for the governor, I guess. He doesn't speak to me that often any longer. And I've said, how many books does the state of Illinois, how many set of books? And you know what? Nobody seems to know the answer. But it seems to where they gravitate around four or five. We've got four or five sets of records for the financial records for this state, and all of them are different, doing different things. It seems to be confusing to the point where how can anybody track anything when you've got five sets of books?
Well, supposedly we have an auditor general. You know, why not get him or her involved in this? Find out where the waste is. Find out what programs that are working and not working. You know, if a program's not working, get rid of it. Let's get rid of it. We have a lot of other things that are out there, you know, Medicaid fraud. We have a massive amount of overtime in our state prisons, you know, over $65 million. You know, oh, my God.
We could have hired some new feet.
Well, and we need to hire some new feet because, you know, what happens is, and a lot of people don't know, you know, when there's, let's say there's a clerical position open, you know, and they don't fill that clerical position. They will take and temporarily assign TA, a person off the floor, like a correctional officer, to fill that clerical position. And that clerical position may only pay $1,700, $1,800 a year. But that floor officer coming off is paid $30,000 a year. Then they turn around and put in a, maybe, if they fill that, an overtime position at 30, you may be looking at $45,000 at overtime rates. It's nuts. It's crazy. You know, fill the positions and take care of the positions.
And, you know, and every time I read another thing about that, it's always bad. What are we going to do, Bill? I mean, let's just pretend the mics are off except for the cuss words.
Okay.
I mean, what the heck are we going to do here, Bill? I mean, you and I are lifelong residents of a state that during our lifetime was a source of incredible pride for me. I was proud to be an Illinoisan. You know, if I get offered a job in Indiana, Missouri, I'm going to have to be really hard to tell them no anymore.
Well,
and not that I want to leave my home, and I'll fight. You know, as long as, and quite frankly, this is the thing that's come out of me. I said, well, Bill's ready to fight.
Yeah, I am ready.
And a lot of people would say, well, how could he? He's been fighting for a long time. Isn't he too tired to fight anymore?
No.
Well, I think when you're a fighter to the end.
I am a fighter to the end. You know, Southern Illinois has been good to my family and I. I will live and die in Southern Illinois. I'll never move out of this state. I love this state. I love the people here.
I don't want to go down fighting. I want to go down winning.
Absolutely.
But there's a difference.
We need to show the people that there are some people still out there that are willing to stand up for them and fight for what's right. And I think when you have the backing of the people, you know, we will win.
Okay. I want to end the conversation the way I did with yesterday, Terry. If Terry was coming in tomorrow, what one question would you want to ask her?
Well, you know, I want to know why she went after my family. You know, not one time in this election, Tom. You know, this was all about the candidates and what the candidates were. I went after my opponent on the tax issue, her not paying her taxes and not being responsible for her taxes. You know, she went after me and she went after my family. I think that's not fair grounds and out of the ballpark. And you know, that's pretty low.
Bill Kilquist, he's the Democratic candidate for the 115th district seat. That's the seat currently held by Mike Bost. The election right around the corner now.
Yep.
So, Bill, good luck.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Bill Kilquist.